Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on a Wednesday on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network, and we welcome you to the third day of 2024. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We get things rocking, Scott, just 3 days out from the start of the end. Week number 18 in the National Football League is on the horizon. It's the regular season finale all around the NFL. Scott, so much at stake on this final weekend of regular season action, playoff berths, divisional championships up in the air, and playoff positioning also on the line in terms of moving that seed line up or down those conference standings. So much to iron out, Scott. We'll set all the potential scenarios that we know of entering week number 18.
Yeah, and how about all the strange lines this week as well? We got line movements, you know, favorites turning into underdogs, and then would-be games. If this was last week or, you know, the beginning of the year, there's no way in the world, you know, Baltimore would be a home underdog, or Cincinnati would be almost a touchdown favorite over the Browns. So kind of a weird, dangerous week when, you know, if you see a line and if it looks funny, then there's a reason for it this week for sure.
Yeah, absolutely so, Scott. So many lines around the league will stand out to you, mainly what we will see in the very first game of the final week of the NFL regular season in week number 18. The Steelers and the Ravens in AFC North rivalry were the best team in football, and that number one overall seed in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens at home in the Charm City, Scott, on Saturday afternoon are booked as the underdog. Well, maybe because of the absence of Lamar Jackson and other starters for the flock getting an extra week of rest before their bye week to begin the playoffs in the AFC. Of course, Baltimore clinching that number one overall seed a weekend ago in the drubbing of Miami. Let's welcome in that Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. This is Football Full Circle. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So Scott, let's go back to that Saturday game in the afternoon. A doubleheader on Saturday. Then we will have 14 games on the final day of the regular season, all on Sunday. Book ended, Scott, with games that will have dramatic implications for the playoffs. The Pittsburgh Steelers got a 3.5-point road favorite in Baltimore against the Ravens. The over-under, 36.5. Again, we have some thought that John Harbaugh is going to rest Lamar Jackson and a few of his other starters. Nothing confirmed yet in terms of what we are going to see, but that is at least the thought, Scott, to see Baltimore as a 3.5-point home underdog against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, these two teams hate each other. It's a great rivalry. Right. They may Baltimore end up resting a lot of their guys, but that doesn't mean they're not going to be trying. I can't help but think they would love nothing more than to knock the Steelers out of the playoffs. So I don't think that they're just going to lay down, even if Lamar doesn't play. That's not the case. They got Huntley, the backup quarterback, who's got a lot of experience. I don't know if I would be taking Baltimore, but I know I wouldn't be taking Pittsburgh laying 3.5. It's amazing, Ben, isn't it, how motivation. You know, when we talk about the X's and O's and whose line's better than this line or this and that, and a lot of gambling is basically boiled down to who do you think needs the win? It doesn't mean they're going to win, but you bet it based on, okay, who needs to win and who doesn't. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't be laying 3.5 with this Pittsburgh Steelers team on the road against Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Scott, again, we're talking about the two best underdog teams in the better part of the last two decades in the NFL. Because since 2008, when John Harbaugh became the head coach in Baltimore, and of course the year prior to that, Mike Tomlin got his start at the helm of the Steelers, these two teams have covered in 62% of their games as a dog. Baltimore 55-33-6 against the number as an underdog. That's a cover percentage of 62.5%. Baltimore this year as an underdog has won outright in both of its games. Week number two against the Bengals, of course, in the nightcap with a triple header on Christmas, that statement victory in Santa Clara against the 49ers. Pittsburgh's got in the same span, 56-33-5 against the number as an underdog. That's a cover percentage of 62.9%. It was the Steelers last week winning outright as an underdog, holding on in Seattle, their sixth outright victory as a dog this year. They've been booked as an underdog, has Pittsburgh, Scott, 10 times this season. They are both 6-4 straight up and against the number. Every cover has been an outright win, but the Steelers are the favorites, laying 3.5. And Scott, I do ultimately believe Pittsburgh will win this football game. We'll talk playoff clinching scenarios in just a moment, but Pittsburgh needs to win this game to, of course, have any shot at seeing the AFC postseason. Ultimately, I think the Steelers do. Do I think it's by 7, 10, 14 points? Just because Snoop Huntley's in there at the quarterback spot? Absolutely not. I think, Scott, to your point, in a rivalry where no love is lost between these divisional foes and nothing is ever easy, I'd actually probably take the hook with Baltimore, even full well knowing that Lamar Jackson might not play a snap against the Steelers on Saturday.
Yeah, 7 straight games these teams have played. It's been decided by 7 points or less, by 1 score. 4 of those by 3 points or less. And some of those had Huntley playing, not Lamar Jackson last year when he was hurt. So it's not like Huntley, you know, isn't capable of competing. And yeah, you know, Pittsburgh needs so much help too. I don't think they're going to ultimately get in. But again, I can't help but think Baltimore would love nothing more. Just a little caveat, need a little icing on the cake of their terrific season. And don't forget, they do get next week off. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Lamar play some. You know, they haven't officially announced that. I don't know if he's going to play the whole game. Maybe not even a half, but knowing that he's got next week off as well, you know, you get these head coaches get a little anal about giving too much time off. So I actually expect the starters to play at least a quarter for Baltimore.
The old age, or excuse me, age, the old rust versus rest debate that we will see certainly for the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers as well, Scott. We know that Christian McCaffrey is going to miss the Niners' regular season finale on Sunday at home in Santa Clara. And so Christian McCaffrey might not be out there, but running backs, even with how good run CMC is, he is the runaway favorite now to win Offensive Player of the Year, probably should have more MVP consideration than he does. Even without Christian McCaffrey, Scott, the 49ers are still booked as a 3-point home favorite. They've already clinched the 1 seed. They've already got the bye in the NFC playoff picture. And although the Rams, who they are playing in that regular season finale, Scott, have already clinched their playoff berth as of last week, LA is in an interesting situation when it comes to seeding. And again, it's all those things to be figured out in week number 18's regular season finale. Not just earning a playoff spot, or maybe if you're still in the hunt for a divisional championship, but what things mean in seeding and what it's going to look like in your opening playoff matchup, where you go and who you face. Because Scott, with a Rams victory, they would clinch the 6th seed in the NFC playoff picture, and depending on what happens at the top, Detroit obviously still in the running for the 2 seed, but Dallas is a 13.5 point favorite on the road against the Washington Commanders. If the Cowboys win that game, they clinch the NFC East. They wrap up the number 2 seed in the NFC playoff picture. The Rams really could pick their spot depending on where they want to go. Do they want to go play Dallas in Dallas, or do they want to go play Detroit in a reunion of sorts in the Motor City? We'll have that conversation as it plays out for playoff positioning and those seed lines in each conference up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. All right, Scott. So I think the game in Santa Clara on Sunday afternoon between the 49ers and the Rams is pretty indicative of a betting standpoint of how you can approach week number 18. Scott, the Rams and the Niners are both going to be in the NFC playoffs. San Francisco, of course, got the number one overall seed. They won the NFC West divisional crown once again. They will have the opening weekend off with that bye in the NFC. LA last week, because of how well they have played down the stretch and because of a few losses like Seattle going down to Pittsburgh, LA has already clinched its playoff berth. But seeding is still very important here. We'll see what happens at the top, but if we follow the odds, Scott, and the Cowboys booked as a 2-touchdown favorite on the road, do just edge out the Commanders. Dallas is going to win the NFC East, and they are going to be the number two overall seed. Some of that obviously will cause controversy given what happened last Saturday night at the Star, but that we digress on that at this point. Meaning if Dallas is the two, Detroit is the three, so LA has an interesting spot. If they end up as the seven or the six, very different fates for where they go on the road in the postseason. And Scott, the Green Bay Packers with a win will be the number seven seed in the NFC, or at least they will earn their playoff berth, I think is better said, because if the Rams do lose to the Niners and the Packers win, based on the head-to-head tiebreaker Green Bay has over LA this year, the Packers would be the six and LA would be the seven. All of that to say, Scott, as it pertains to the line, the Rams are a three-point underdog on the road in Santa Clara against the 49ers. I would expect, although Sean McVay doesn't believe in preseason and often rests his starters, that the starters are out there for LA for a good part come Sunday afternoon. And we already know Christian McCaffrey is out for the 49ers. We might see Brock Purdy and some of the starters early, but the game's got to me just means so much more for Los Angeles. I'm surprised they're a full 3-point underdog.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. You got Sam Darnold that's going to be playing a quarterback. He's halfway decent, though, right? And again, same thing. You know, it's a rivalry game. Now, they wouldn't be knocking the Rams out of the playoffs, but, you know, with a chance for them to maybe meet later on in the postseason, I think you're going to get a halfway decent effort out of San Fran. I tell you, more so for San Francisco than Baltimore for me. If I'm San Fran, I got a bunch of guys that really like McCaffrey and Purdy and Debo. They've all been dealing with injuries, right? Over the last year or two, I would be more conservative with San Francisco than I would Baltimore. But the line tells you that that's not going to be the case. And you know, San Francisco has owned the Rams over the year. They just can't find a way to win that game. And maybe even when the incentive seems to be more on Los Angeles' side than San Fran, that still might be the case with the Niners finding a way to win.
Yeah, it's a really interesting line to me, Scott, because all the Rams have at stake. And again, these are optics, right? The Rams are still going to be on the road as a wild card team against two teams that are going to win at least 11 games, it would seem, in the National Football League this year. Detroit, by the way, a 3-point home favorite against the Minnesota Vikings. The Lions will have a little bit of an idea of what their fate looks like, but Dallas plays in that late window. Detroit plays in the early window. The Lions only a 3-point home favorite. Also rather intriguing, although I think Detroit has a sense that Dallas is a pretty hefty road favorite. But it's a road divisional game. Last year, the Cowboys played all of their starters week number 18 against the Commanders in a game that they really needed for seeding, and they lost the game outright with Sam Howell making his first career NFL start and winning 26-6. Weird things happen each and every Sunday in the National Football League. So, Scott, knowing that LA needs the football game, and I think if you're sitting here, right, the Rams are probably going to say to themselves, Dallas has been unbeatable at home. They've won 16 straight home games. Yeah, they probably should have lost to Detroit if Brad Allen had actually taken what Taylor Decker said to him and reported him as eligible. But again, we can get in that conversation in just a little bit. I think the Rams would say to themselves, we're going to a Detroit team that has not won a playoff game since 1991. Matthew Stafford knows Ford Field better than pretty much everybody in the National Football League. You have that narrative tied in. I would think the Rams, Scott, would rather be the 6 than the 7, despite having to go on the road.
I would think so as well. Even though I like the Detroit team, I do. They showed me a lot that game against the Cowboys. You know, for me,
yeah, they did.
And I think for the Lions as well, the way they went for it for 2, despite the penalty, they were kind of playing with just house money. I don't think they really thought that game was going to be meaningful. Who knew Philadelphia would lose this past weekend? But they showed me more in a loss than what Dallas did in a win. This Dallas team is scuffling. Them and the Eagles both. You know, despite the victory, I thought they were going to win that one by double digits after losing the last 2. And the fact that they barely squeaked out a win, they might be better off playing Dallas. But I'll go with the Lions just because of the lack of history. And now they're clearly Detroit playing with house money. Whatever happens from this point on, this has been a successful season like they haven't seen in a long, long time. So I guess if you had your druthers, you'd rather play at Detroit.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a huge advantage, though. Do you? I mean, yeah. Dallas has so many demons in their playoff closet. It really wouldn't be that big a deal either way to me.
Yeah, Scott, I was about to say the same thing. It's not like the Dallas Cowboys have been a world beater in the past 3 decades in the NFL playoffs either. They have reached the divisional round multiple times, but of course, in the 12 playoff appearances the Cowboys have made since last winning the Super Bowl in 1995, they have never even reached the NFC Championship game. But knowing Dallas at home, still I think you would pick Detroit. But that will be a raucous environment. The first home playoff game for the Detroit Lions since 1991, looking to win their first playoff game in more than 3 decades, also since that time, 1991. And I think the NFL would love to have that game maybe in prime time on Saturday, because when you look at that matchup, Scott, the Rams with Matthew Stafford going into Detroit to take on his former team and the organization he spent the first 11 years of his NFL career at, with Jared Goff on the other side, now at the helm of a Lions team, winning its first division in 3 decades, hosting a playoff game for the first time in more than 3 decades against his former team that let him go, against his former head coach he won a Super Bowl with, all with the environment that the Motor City would bring to that NFL playoff game. I mean, the narrative writes itself. It would be a sensational opening round matchup in the postseason.
Yeah, it really would. And here's the other one. You know, this is a little quirky, but, you know, it bears noting that if Philadelphia were to beat New Orleans or Tampa Bay, whoever wins the NFC South, which I think could happen very easily, if you're the number 7 seed, that means you face San Francisco in the next round. If you're the number 6 seed, you don't necessarily do that, depending on who wins. So that would guarantee you facing the Niners in the second round. I mean, who's looking that far down the line except fans? I don't think teams necessarily are, but either way, you know, for the NFL, I think they would love that Detroit Stafford situation, and you know, Rams high profile team against Dallas high profile team. Obviously, I think they would love that. So, with everything you said and done, you know, I think the NFL is going to be pretty happy with how the NFC turned out this year.
Yeah, I think so. A lot to iron out. Who's going to win the NFC East? Who's going to be that number 2 seed in the conference? Who's going to earn that final wild card spot? And then, of course, who is going to win the NFC South? So many things to figure out, Scott. One of the easier things to understand is if the Packers beat the Bears on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau, Green Bay is going to the NFC playoffs. Green Bay right now booked as a 3-point favorite against Chicago. The over-under is 44.5. Now, Scott, the Packers looked great on Sunday night in Minneapolis, but a similar spot for the Packers now as it was last year with Aaron Rodgers. A win at home and they were in, except Detroit, who couldn't go to the postseason, like Chicago can't go to the postseason, came in last year and upset the Packers in what was Aaron Rodgers' final game as the quarterback in Green Bay. We'll talk about that game, and if the Packers lose, what that opens up around the rest of the NFC playoff picture. all the clinching scenarios to know and the motivation as it pertains to handicapping those numbers for the final Sunday of the National Football League regular season in 2023. We do it next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. So again, Scott, it's pretty easy in certain areas to determine what is at stake and what needs to happen for insert X team to clinch a playoff spot on Sunday in week number 18. For the Green Bay Packers, Scott, again, it's easy in terms of earning that postseason berth. Go out at home and beat your divisional foe in the Chicago Bears, win by just 1 point, and you are going to the playoffs. Green Bay booked as a 3-point home favorite at Lambeau on Sunday, the over-under 44.5. So, Scott, the Packers just need to win. Will they get it done?
Well, I tell you, the NFL, they've gotten wise. It's taken them a little while, but they finally gotten wise to how to handle this last week of the regular season, matching up all the teams that are competing against each other to play at the same time, even if it means a East Coast team playing at 4 o'clock. And they've also made sure that these teams, for the most part, play in their own division. This way, even if you have a situation like this, one team's playing for something, the other team is not, that team that they're playing is generally going to be a rivalry game if it's in the same division. And you know, right? I mean, there might be no bigger rivalry outside, at least in the NFC anyway, than Chicago Green Bay, the way the Packers have dominated the Bears. So you know Chicago is going to be all pumped up to play this game, and they would love nothing more to keep Green Bay out. The fact there's two lines this week, Ben, that kind of like tell you that. Green Bay being only a 3-point favorite, and good job by you bringing up last year. I forgot about that. Could you imagine that for the Packers losing back-to-back years, final game at home, both games against teams that are playing for nothing, and you don't make the playoffs? Wow, that would be tough. But I thought this line's a little low, right? Only three. Bears playing better. I get that, but all seemingly the motivation on Green Bay side. So that'll be a good one. And there's one other strange line. I'll see if you can figure it out. We'll get to the game, I'm sure. But for Green Bay and Chicago, I got a feeling Chicago wins. I like the way they're playing. It's too bad that this started a little bit too late. But they're playing some of the best football out of anybody in the NFL, believe it or not, as crazy as that sounds.
Yeah, 2-7, Scott, as we entered November. But from that point, the Chicago Bears have won 5 of their last 7 games. And you can really tie that to the defense and what they have done under Matt Eberflus. 2 straight overs for Chicago, 37-17 against Atlanta last week, 27-16. That game really was around 42.5, 43. It goes over the closing number of 42 by a point against Arizona. But still, Chicago in both of those instances, Scott, allowing 17 points or less, because entering the last 2 weeks, Chicago had gone under in 5 of their last 6 games as they started to figure things out and the defense really started to step up. What that means for Chicago's future, both at the head coaching spot with Matt Eberflus and the direction of this franchise, and of course, Scott, as Chicago did clinch the number 1 overall pick in 2024 because they traded with Carolina last year. The Panthers have the worst record in the NFL, and that number 1 overall pick will go to Chicago. What they do at the QB spot with Justin Fields, an audition perhaps for his Bears organization, an audition perhaps for the rest of the National Football League if Chicago decides to go the other way. So there is that motivational aspect, Scott, for the Bears, just not in terms of earning a playoff spot. But if Green Bay goes down 2 consecutive years, Scott, to a divisional foe at home in Lambeau, where they're booked as a favorite and all they need to do is win, it is going to be a very sour taste in the mouth of Packers Nation, like some moldy old cheese entering this offseason. For Green Bay, you will have to point first and foremost at the defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, who's got, even if Green Bay does win this game, even if Green Bay does get into the playoffs, I do not expect Joe Barry to be back for this Packers organization as the DC in 2024. But what's so interesting, Scott, about this game is Aaron Rodgers, who plays for the New York Jets, of course, now, and who makes his weekly appearances on the Pat McAfee show, was still speaking about the rivalry between the Packers and the Bears yesterday, still saying, "We own Chicago." What an interesting take from Aaron Rodgers to insert himself into this situation when he plays for the New York Jets, who are having their very own disastrous season, and still wants to talk about the rivalry between the Packers and the Bears. He is always going to be a Green Bay Packer. He spent the 18 years of his NFL career to begin in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But not normally something you would hear from a guy when his team is still playing in the regular season.
Yeah, you use that word "we," right? Broadcasters get called out on that all the time, saying right. "we" when the show's supposed to be impartial, and now he says it. So, listen, you take him out of the Green Bay, but you can't take Green Bay out of his heart, I suppose. But if the Packers do lose, Ben, then that opens the door for Seattle. In order for the Seahawks to win a playoff spot, they beat Arizona and Green Bay loses. And that was that second line I was referring to, that out of all the lines, you know, we're seeing, you know, the adjustments, and we're seeing Cincinnati be a big favorite over a Cleveland Browns team that's playing for nothing. We see Baltimore being a home underdog to Pittsburgh Steelers because they're seemingly playing for nothing. This one, though, doesn't reflect that, not to me anyway. Seattle's only a 2.5-point road favorite over a 4-win Arizona team that is playing for absolutely nothing. And in a lot of ways, they're tied with two other teams with 4 wins to get that number 2 overall slot in the NFL draft. I mean, you can make the case they're better off losing this game, and yet Seattle is still only a 2.5-point road favorite. I find that very interesting. And Green Bay and Chicago, good job on the NFL. Again, they're playing at the same time, so it's not like they're worried about the Packers winning, you know, at 1 o'clock. No, they'll be both playing at the same time, and Green Bay is only a 3-point, as we're talking about here, home favorite. Yep. I mean, they could easily lose that game. It's not a big shock. So I find that curious. They're only favored by less than a field goal.
Right. Scott, in many other weeks, that would stand out to me as a fishy line. What do I not know that the odds makers do? That's such a strong Arizona line. What is it actually saying? In this week, though, where motivation is key, and it's hard to quantify motivation, of course, in terms of handicapping, this line feels to me like it's a Seattle team that really hasn't been plenty respected by the odds makers, despite being a 4.5-point home favorite last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's just a line that says Seattle's not a great football team. They've only won 8 games this year on the road against anybody, even a divisional rival. We're not going to let them lay more than 3 points. That's what the line says to me, because Scott, as we started this show, I mentioned I found the Rams line to be a little bit funky as the underdog in that spot against the San Francisco 49ers, knowing the Niners really had nothing to play for, and more than likely, even if we saw Brock Purdy for a little bit, we were going to see a ton of reserves for the 49ers moving forward. Same thing here for me. I've made 2 bets, the Rams +3, and although I think they went outright, I like the number being on a flat field goal, and Seattle laying 2.5 on the road in Arizona, because, Scott, the games are at the same time. That was the last thing I had to check. All right, do the Green Bay Packers play in that early window? Oh, no, they do not. Seattle will not know their ultimate fate. They'll be scoreboard watching as they are trying to hammer Arizona in Glendale on Sunday afternoon. I like the Seahawks laying 2.5. Now, by no means, Scott, does that mean I feel great about this Seattle team, or do I think the Seahawks are a world beater by any means? But I do believe Seattle can win and cover as a 2.5-point road favorite in Arizona on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm not Big Ben with 3, 4, 5 weeks left in a regular season and then telling teams, well, they're better off losing because, you know, the NFL draft, you should get a higher draft rate. You know, there's just way too much football left, right? So I'm not one of those zealots. But when it does come down to the last week, and you're tied with New England, who's got a winnable game, right, against the New York Jets, and who's the other team that 4 wins? You know, they could the Patriots and Washington Commanders, right? So the Commanders probably are going to lose. But, you know, you have a chance if you lose to be maybe the number two overall seed. And, you know, that's a valuable commodity, whether you're going to use it or trade it. If you have Kyler Murray as your quarterback and you want to be able to sell that number two overall pick, it's just, you know, if I'm Arizona, you know, would it be the dumbest thing in the world at the end of the week to say, you know what, Kyler Murray coming off a serious knee injury, we've seen him play, we like him, we're going to bench him the final week and we're going to throw Joe Schmo in there. I mean, that's what I would do. You know, and that's how you – the players would never not try and win. I don't even think the head coach would really not try and win. But management could step in and say, what are we doing here? We got a chance for the number two overall pick. We win, and now we're looking at number five versus number two. That's a big difference when it comes to top five. So, I think it all points to Seattle as well, long story short.
Yeah, I completely agree. I would look at the Seahawks in this spot. I think Arizona has – probably been very excited by what they have done this year with Kyler Murray back in the fold, an underdog in every game this year, Scott. And as we often talk about dogs, they're going to end the year, well, depending on what happens in this game, right around 500. 8-8 against the spread right now, though, as an underdog. And of course, the very surprising upset victory on the road in Philadelphia, winning outright as a 12.5 point underdog. The second time against an NFC East team this year, frankly, Arizona has won outright as a 12 plus point underdog. They knocked off the Cowboys week three, and then of course ended the Eagles' chances more than likely of winning the NFC East on a game against Philadelphia, which was sensational for the Cardinals. Scott, I do find it interesting the NFC East and how Philly has fallen here in this race. Dallas on the road, a 13.5 point favorite against the Commanders. Philly on the road, a 5.5 point favorite against the New York Giants. Philly is going to be playing for the NFC East divisional crown in this spot, but when Dallas is laying near two touchdowns, Scott, against Washington, if the Cowboys win, they clinch the NFC East.
Yeah, I tell you, the Eagles just got to be kicking themselves, right? I mean, just win. Just win one game. You know, it's fun. Arizona may end up costing the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Philadelphia to win the division and Pittsburgh a playoff spot by knocking them off.
Yeah, it would be something. It would be something. All of that a part of these playoff clinching scenarios entering week number 18. That was a lot of NFC talk. Let's have a little fun in the AFC, where a lot of things ride on what happens in the AFC South. We'll do it up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
All right, Scott, so we've ran through a lot of the playoff clinching scenarios in the NFC. One more in the NFC South, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with a victory on the road in Charlotte on Sunday, clinch the division. Tampa booked as a 5.5 point favorite. If Tampa does not win that football game, and New Orleans does in their matchup against the Atlanta Falcons on the road, or actually, excuse me, at home on Sunday against the Falcons, they, in that game, New Orleans, that is, booked as a 3-point home favorite, it would be the same. So quickly here, Scott, who do you think wins the NFC South? Tampa with a clinching victory on the road against Carolina, or the Saints with a Buccaneers loss and a win at home against the Falcons?
You know, it's funny, you look at Carolina's schedule, and while they did lose to Tampa Bay earlier in the year, they played them pretty tough. You know, it was a little bit of a rain down in Tampa, I remember, and Tampa scored a couple of late touchdowns, and it seemingly was an easy win, but it really wasn't. So, but that said, well, you know, they can't lose to Carolina. There's going to be nobody there. There's going to be no home field advantage whatsoever. Carolina's got to have its foot out the door, right? They have no head coach. Management is a mess. No draft choices. I think Tampa Bay finds a way to get a win. Tampa Bay is going to win the division.
I think so as well. The Bucs have been good on the road this year. Scott, that was Carolina's second cover of the season a couple of weeks ago against Tampa Bay in its first game without Frank Reich. It was a 5.5 point spread. The Panthers had an opportunity to actually drive Bryce Young, lead a game-winning drive. It did not happen. They did cover, however, only losing by 3. By the way, news about management and the main manager for Carolina, David Tepper, yesterday fined $300,000 $1 billion by the NFL. It's a guy that's worth, net worth is like $21 billion, so it's only a little bit of chump change for David Tepper. But of course, all of this stemming from last weekend when he threw a drink onto a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. You talk about disasters. We mentioned the New York Jets and how this 2023 season played out. You look at what happened in Carolina, Scott, it might be worse. They are going to be, more than likely, if the odds hold, right, and Tampa just wins on the road as the favored side, Carolina's going to have the worst record at 2-15 in the NFL this season in 2023. And okay, you take some growing pains with your number one overall pick from a season ago. You've got the head coach of your future, those two in tandem. You're going to have a high draft pick. Maybe there's a silver lining and some optimism into the offseason. Nope. Frank Reich was fired after 11 games this year. They're going to have to find a new head coach. I don't know who really is going to be clamoring to work for David Tepper at this point. And outside of that, Scott, they don't have the number one overall pick because, of course, in the trade last year to get that first overall pick with the Bears, they gave up their first round pick in 2024. So Chicago will select one, and the Panthers don't have a first round selection. Truly, Scott, as bad as it could be for the Panthers in 2023.
Yeah, and listen, you can make the case, Ben, they might not even have their quarterback. I mean, if you just look at Bryce Young, you're going to go through the learning curves and all that other stuff, but we've talked about this before. His play has regressed as the season has ensued. You look at the yards thrown and the touchdown passes all at the beginning of the year, okay, not too bad, but he never got better. Outside of a 312-yard performance against Green Bay, which he did look terrific, but other than that, 112 yards last week, 167 3 weeks ago, 137 4 weeks ago, 178 5 weeks ago. He's not even breaking 200, whereas earlier in the year, you have some 204s, 247s, 217s, 235s. So it seems like when teams got a book on him, he didn't get any better. So do they really hand this team to him again next year? Boy, out of all the teams, this one might be the one that's got the worst situation out of all of them. I'm guessing they will, but I didn't see anything. He threw two touchdown passes in one game. He had no touchdown passes in five of his last six games. I mean, that's bad. Again, compared to he had five in the first four games of his career, or four in the first four games of his career, and then had one, you know, for three straight weeks after that. So he was showing a little something, but no coach, no anything in Carolina, and no weapons either. Just, wow, what a bad football team.
Yeah. I mean, a disaster, truly a disaster. Bryce Young probably doesn't feel confident in where he stands entering 2024. I don't know really where you find that silver lining, if there is one, for Carolina on the horizon. And I should say, Scott, if the Buccaneers somehow do lose that football game, it becomes winner take all between the Saints and the Falcons, because if Atlanta wins and they knock off the Saints, winning outright as a road underdog, good luck, because under Arthur Smith, Atlanta is now 3-15 on the road the last 2 years. The Falcons would also win the NFC South. And back to our conversation, Scott, with the battle between two versus three and the seeds at the top in terms of where you would go on the road for a wild card team, as we mentioned, as it correlates between Dallas and Detroit and LA this upcoming weekend, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. It's not nearly that disparity, Scott, but between the Cowboys and the Lions, two versus three, as it would be from three to four, and going on the road potentially to a team that would be a 9-win football team, or maybe even 8-9 if the Falcons somehow pull off the win that claims the NFC South. Now over in the AFC. Again, Scott, Pittsburgh wins on Saturday in the opener in Baltimore, the first game of the doubleheader to kick off week number 18 on Saturday. They don't just earn a playoff spot with a win. They would need a lot of help, a variety of clinching scenarios. If the Bills lose in Miami, Pittsburgh would be in. Or if Houston and Indianapolis tie in the second game on Sunday. In that second game, the nightcap of the doubleheader, Scott, on Saturday in Indianapolis, it's much more easy to see. Houston wins, they're in. Indianapolis wins, they are also in with a playoff berth. still some things could happen in the AFC South if Jacksonville loses against Tennessee on Sunday. But the Texans book, Scott, as a 1.5-point road favorite. It's minus 120 on the money line for Houston. It's plus 102 on the other side for the Colts. Less than a quarter, 25 cents of difference between these two teams. If Indianapolis wins, Scott, they are in to the postseason as well, at least clinching a playoff berth. So, Scott, who does that on Saturday night?
Yeah, I find the AFC a lot more fascinating than I do the NFC. I think Pittsburgh does find a way to win, but here's another little quirk. If Pittsburgh loses, Buffalo clinches. Yeah. Then they play the Dolphins. If they lose to the Dolphins, then the Dolphins play guess who in the first round the next week? The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
So, listen, as a Dolphin fan, you want a home game. You'd be the number two seed, which means if you won that first round, you'd get a home game in the second round. But do you really want to face Buffalo twice? The chances of you beating the Buffalo Bills, a team you never beat, beating them twice versus losing to Buffalo, being a wild card team in which you'd have to face Kansas City, which this year, quite frankly, is not that daunting of a task. You know, I think if your goal was to win one playoff game, I'd rather have that scenario. If your goal is to, you know, get to the Super Bowl, I don't know if that's realistic for Miami than it would be obviously to win against Buffalo. But that's one little quirk there, that if Pittsburgh loses, that clinches a playoff spot for the Bills. And that would mean that they would be the number six or seven seed if in fact they lost to Miami on Sunday. So, but that, back to your question, I think Baltimore does. I think Pittsburgh does find a way to win.
Yeah, and to me, Scott, what's so fascinating about that, Buffalo has a shot of winning a division and being a two seed on Sunday, or with a Pittsburgh victory on Saturday and not a tie between Houston and Indianapolis, meaning one of the two teams at least wins by a point, because whoever wins that game earns a playoff berth. We'll see what it means for the AFC South. There's a chance that Buffalo, if Jacksonville wins, falls all the way out of the postseason. That's how drastic the swings could be come Sunday around the NFL in week number 18. Scott, who do you give the edge to right now between C.J. Stroud and the Texans on the road in Indianapolis against the Colts and Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Houston. That line flipped. You know, Indianapolis opened up as a small one, maybe 1.5-point favorite. Now they're dogs, slight dogs. So the public is coming in on Houston. And I like this Houston team. You know, give credit to the Colts doing what they've done as well. But I could see Houston going in there and winning. I mean, you talk about a respect gained by the Houston Texans from the boys in Vegas, making them road favorites now, you know, in a win-all situation. No respect for the Colts, I suppose. But I think I'm going to buy into the C.J. Stroud thing. It's taken me a little while, but he's a terrific quarterback. He's, you know, they are set for the future for sure. So give me Houston. I think they get the job done.
Yeah, it's interesting, Scott, because where things stand right now, Houston, again, we're talking a pick 'em here. It's minus 120 money line for the Texans. It's plus 102 on the other side for Indianapolis. But Houston this season, away from home, 3-4. They are 6-3 at home in H-Town. As a favorite, including last week's victory at home against the Tennessee Titans, the Texans are just 4-3 straight up when booked as the favored side. Three outright losses as a favorite, not necessarily the best, but a young team. Now, Indianapolis at home, 4-4. On the road, 5-3. It will be interesting, Scott, how all of that plays out. And we know the Colts, the story for Indianapolis, as they have been on this run here, down the home stretch of this season. Wins against Carolina, New England, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Las Vegas. They have been victorious in 5 of their last 7 games down the home stretch. And in 4 of those 5 wins, Scott, they have been booked as the favored side. Their 2 losses since November, they have been booked as the underdog. In fact, in every loss for Indianapolis this year, they have been booked as the dog, and they only covered once in a loss. Now, covering numbers is different when it's a 1.5-point spread, and you just need to win the game outright to earn a playoff berth. But that line flip, I think, is a little bit of an indication, not just from a betting perspective, but how the odds makers feel to favor Houston on the road in Indy.
That is a big step, right? I mean, you talk about respectability. That is it. You would have thought, I think under normal circumstances, the Colts would be like a 3-point home favorite, right, over a team that's, you know, comparable to them, and you got the home field, so you make them a 3-point favorite, and it's not that way. So I don't know if they're suckering you in. You know, there's a big part of me that just takes a step back and says it's Gardner Minshew. And as terrific as a season he's had, there's a reason why he's never been in a playoff game. There's a reason why he didn't come in this year as a starter, and I just don't know if he really gets it done against Houston. Whereas I think the Texans, the up-and-coming team, you know, I hate the fact they don't have Tank Dell. You know, they lost him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Haven't quite been the same team since, but I'll still go with the Texans. I'll go with Stroud. I think they get the job done on the road.
So if Tennessee, who faces off against Jacksonville, is able to pull off an upset on Sunday at home, right now the Titans booked as a 5.5-point favorite, there's a chance, Scott, the winner of that game not only clinches the playoff berth, but also then wins the AFC South divisional crown. But Jacksonville is a 5.5-point favorite on the road against the Titans, Scott. The Jags, obviously, some resilience last week. We'll see exactly where things stand for Trevor Lawrence and his status entering week number 18. But ultimately, Scott, do you think the winner of Indy and Houston is just a wild card team, or might the Jags be upset on Sunday?
Wow. You know, it's funny how roles are reversed, right? A couple of years ago, it was Jacksonville at home taking on the Indianapolis Colts. You know, all the Colts needed to do was win against this, two or three win, whatever they were at the time, Jacksonville team, and they lost, obviously. Jacksonville gets the win. They can't lose this game. No way.
No. I don't think they do either. Scott Wetzel takes you home on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle. We're just 3 days out from the start of the end. It's week number 18 in the National Football League. Back in just a few minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
All right, welcome back. It is Football Full Circle. I'll take you home here as Ben and I will be back tomorrow and Friday. Don't forget, I'll be on in-game live later on tonight on Sports Grid TV, me and Dave Sharapan from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. So just to close up shop here on some of this NFL stuff, obviously a big weekend. A lot of teams need victories. A lot of teams need some help. The one team to me that stands out that has the most to lose, not Pittsburgh. Listen, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to see Baltimore beat the Steelers. These two teams, as we mentioned before, seven straight times that it's been a one-score game, four by 3 points or less. So despite the backups playing for Baltimore, that wouldn't be that big of a surprise to me. Houston and Indianapolis, both are playing with house money, right? It's been a successful season for both. If the Texans were to lose, not that big a deal. C.J. Stroud, their quarterback of the future, this was a monster-plus year. Same thing with the Colts. You know, being in this position, despite having Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback, getting hurt, no one thought they'd be in this spot. So then both of those teams, no big deal. Saints, you know what? Their ship has already sailed. Tampa Bay losing against Carolina would be a pretty tough pill to swallow, but I'm not going to say it's them, because no one thought they would be in this spot at the beginning of the year. They're a mediocre football team. Win, lose, or draw, they probably would get smacked around by Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. Anyway, is Baker really their quarterback of the future? You know, it wouldn't be that big a deal, I think, if they lost. Detroit and Minnesota, basically the ship has sailed with the Vikings as well. You can make the case Green Bay, right, losing at home against Chicago, as Ben and I talked about. Boy, that would be a horrible back-to-back years losing against teams that are out of it at home for the Packers to not make the playoffs. But no, it's not them. To me, the team that has everything riding on it is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You lose to a Tennessee Titans team that doesn't even know who its starting quarterback will be. Trevor Lawrence may not play, but this was supposed to be a step up after reaching the second round of the postseason last year. They would have the most to lose with a loss on Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, Football Full Circle tomorrow. Join us again. Have yourselves a great Wednesday. Don't forget tonight on In Game Live with yours truly.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.